We have several who are away. By the way, I want to thank Nathan for a new mic. He put this in today, and it reaches closer to your mouth. I hope I don't hit it as I preach, but it's for those who come up to lead in prayer, read scripture, whatever, to make sure we use the mic. I appreciate him putting that in. But several are out tonight, either because of sickness or they're out of town. But I appreciate so much you being here this evening. Tonight I want to talk about, the title of the lesson is the results of a grateful heart. And I want to talk about thanksgiving. Those of you who are at the veterans' home this afternoon may hear or will hear some of the things that we talked about this afternoon. But you know, this Thursday is our national holiday, Thanksgiving. And it's a time where our nation emphasizes giving thanks to God for His blessings. And truly, this nation is greatly blessed, has been greatly blessed by God. We have a lot to be thankful for, and it is indeed appropriate for us to then emphasize thanksgiving unto God. And as families get together and eat a lot of God's bounty, God's blessings, and they may even talk about the things that they're thankful for and go around the table, and various ones will then say various things that they're thankful for. That's a good thing. But what I want to emphasize this evening is that really for the Christian, Thanksgiving Day is every day. We are to be thankful people every day of our lives. I want to emphasize that this evening. First of all, we want to emphasize the fact that the Lord desires that we give thanks. Not only that we have it within our heart, but that He wants us to express thanksgivings unto Him. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Also in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Also in Colossians 3, verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful." Verse 17, he says, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Also in Colossians 4 and verse 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." And also in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The Lord wants us to give thanks, and that is at all times, always, for all things that He has given to us. You know, God reckons ingratitude detestable. In Romans chapter 1, we read of the Gentiles, the sins of the Gentiles, and He describes them as ones who refuse to acknowledge God. He had said in verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." They knew about God. God had made it known unto them. But he says in verse 21 of Romans 1, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Now, we think that this is a detestable thing, that here are people that knew God in the sense that they could look at the world around them and see His everlasting power and Godhead, but what they did is rejected that God, and they made gods according to their own hearts, their own ideas. They rebelled against the God of heaven. And he goes on to talk about how that God then gave them up because they rejected God. God gave them over to vile passions, over to a degraded, depraved, moral way of living. And it's described here in Romans chapter 1. But right there in the midst of all of that, they're not thankful. You know, that is also detestable. We could read the list of sins that are given here in Romans chapter 1. But one of them that is just as bad as the others is not being thankful, not acknowledging God, and not acknowledging Him being the source of the good things that we enjoy, that God has given unto us. Look with me also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money." Tell me, how do you think about this kind of description of people? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such, he says to Timothy, from such people turn away. Now for him to say that to Timothy, from such people turn away, indicates that this kind of people lived in the days of Timothy. This is not for some future time. This was true in the days of Timothy, and it's true in our day. We have people like this. But among all of those deplorable descriptions of men, he includes in that unthankful. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we do. When we bow our heads to give thanks to God for our food or for whatever God has given us, what we're doing is we're acknowledging there's a God. We're acknowledging that He is the source of all of these good things. And it's an expression of our faith in Him. It's an expression of our gratitude toward Him when we give thanks. And when we don't, it is indeed a detestable thing. You know, we think of people today who receive all good things, but they never give thanks. They don't thank you. You probably have seen people where you've done many good things for them, given to them, and then they just don't say thank you. You think that's just awful. And we understand that because we teach our children. When our children are growing up and they receive a gift, what we as parents say to our children? Say thank you. Because we know that's important. That they need to be thankful for what they've received, and they need to express that to those who've given them these gifts. It is important. And when we don't give thanks, we fail to do that, is indeed a detestable thing to the Lord. There was a boy in a cafe who gave thanks before he ate. He bowed his head and gave thanks for his food. There were some men nearby that wanted to have some fun with him, and so they said, "Hey, boy, do everybody do that where you come from?" And the boy said, "No, the hogs don't." And that's right, those hogs don't. They just eat their slop, disregarding where it came from. And that's exactly where we find ourselves, is in the slop with the pigs, when we don't give thanks. When we receive all of these things from God and we don't express our gratitude to God for what God has given us. God reckons ingratitude detestable. And I appreciate prayers that are prayed here, where you do express thanksgivings and you spend time in offering thanksgiving to God in the prayers that you pray. And I appreciate that so very much. Well, remember the giver in the gift. James says in James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift. And I have read that the every good gift is referring to the giving. Every good giving, the act of giving, and every perfect gift is the gift, the actual thing that is being given. Every good giving, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so you think of the good gifts that you have received. It comes from God. God is the source. So let's not forget the giver in the giving, recognizing that all of these things have been given to us by God. In Psalm 107, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Why? "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Verse 8 and 9, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Why? "For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." And we've enjoyed the things that we long for that God has satisfied us with has come from Him. And the Lord emphasizes that we are to give Him thanks and to express our gratitude unto Him. Let's talk about some results of a grateful heart. If we are truly grateful daily, and we're expressing our gratitude to God on a daily basis, then what will result in our life? Well, first of all, I suggest we'll have peace. Gratitude is an important ingredient and a necessary ingredient for us to have peace of heart and peace with God, the peace of God that God has provided. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Notice verse 7, "And the peace of God," the peace that God provides, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will guard it from anxiety and frustration. We'll have peace. But to whom? Well, we are ones who then put our trust in God. We recognize He's the source of what we need in life. And so as we go through problems and difficulties that are the source of anxiety, then we pray to Him about that. And we understand that's going to bring us peace when we know there's a God that's going to be our refuge, God that's going to help us in our life. And so what do? By prayer and supplication, we make known our supplications. We ask Him to be with us and help us. And He does. He's there. And we're confident of that. And that helps us to bring a peace. But that's not all He says here. It's not just asking. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Without the thanksgiving, there's not going to be the peace. When we pray to God and ask Him to be with us and know that He is with us, and then He works in our lives, we pray to Him and thank Him. We also include it in our prayers. We thank Him for what He has done for us. And that is a part of the means by which we can have this peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You know, discontent, greed, and jealousy are symptoms of ingratitude. What happens in life? We may ask God for this and that and the other, and we may not get all we want. And what happens? We become discontented. And we're not satisfied. And there's no peace that's there. And as a result of that, we want more. There's covetousness, greed. I'm not satisfied with what I have, so I want more. And that will then end up causing jealousy. I will begin to resent others because they have it and I don't. I want it. I want it and I ask, but I don't receive. What happens? There's no peace. There's frustration, there's anxiety. Why is that? Well, I think it stems from the fact that I'm not grateful for what I do have. I'm not content with what I do have. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and beginning with verse 6. Paul says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Paul is emphasizing here that we are to be content with what we have, not desiring to be rich. Not having a love for money, desiring for more, becoming greedy. What happens when we do that? Well, we fall into a temptation, snare into many foolish and harmful lusts, and we'll be drowned in destruction and perdition. There's no happiness, there's no peace in all of that. But the person that's content with what he has, satisfied, grateful for what God has given him, then he's going to find contentment. And he's so appreciative of what God has given him within his life. And so there's not going to be that greed. There's not going to be that jealousy. There's not going to be that dissatisfaction in life. He's accepting what God has given and he's grateful for it. And that's what will then bring peace. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, sometimes we are worried about whether or not we're going to have enough food for tomorrow, whether we're going to have the necessities of life. Well, the Lord has promised that He'll give it to us. He'll provide us with whatever we need. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So be content with what you have. Be free from the love of money. Be free from that greed. And God will take care of us. He'll provide us with whatever we need. And if we're grateful for what He has given for us, content with that, that provides peace. And so the result of a grateful heart is one who will have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. But a second result of a grateful heart is diligent work in the service of God. You know, we see this in the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul was mindful of the giver. Look at Galatians 6 and in verse 14. He says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What motivated Paul in life? Well, his appreciation for what Christ did for him in his death upon the cross. He did not boast in anything except in the cross of Christ. That's where he found his fulfillment. That's where he found his assurance of being in right relationship with God. That's what gave him the hope within his life, and that's what motivated him to serve. Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, and we talked about this Wednesday night, he says, for I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was a child of God because of the grace of God. Saved from his sins, hope of eternal life. And he was called to go out and preach the gospel. And he went out and he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Not me. It was what God's doing through me. It's what God has provided for me. By the grace of God, I am what I am in being saved and in accomplishing what I'm accomplishing in life. I will tell you, when I come to realize that what I have in life, the abilities I have, the service that I render is all because of what God has provided for me, what that does is that motivates diligent work. It motivates a diligent service unto the Lord. Paul was mindful of the giver that motivated him in his work. And that's what we see in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Paul's gratitude motivated him to diligent work. He says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise, so as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Paul says he's a debtor. Now he says here he's a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise, the people to whom he would preach the gospel. But as we know, he was not indebted to them because of what they had done for him. He was indebted to them to go and preach the gospel to them because of what Christ had done for him. That's what he's saying here. I'm a debtor because of what Christ did for me. I'm a debtor to these Greeks and barbarians, the wise and unwise, to go preach the gospel to them because of what Christ has done. He was motivated to service. And so he was ready to preach the gospel to those who were in Rome also. Because of his gratitude, because of his appreciation for what Christ had done for him. Also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14, Paul says, for the love of Christ compels us. He's talking about the love that Christ had for him, for them. And that love that Christ had for them compels us, he says, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Now we all died in sin. But we who have died in sin have now been made alive. Why? Because He died. We are now alive because He died. Now we who are alive should no longer live unto ourselves, Paul is saying, but we need to live for Him who for our sakes died and rose again. Well, I love this passage because what it does, it's saying when I come to realize what Christ did for me, His love for me, I will then have within my heart a great appreciation for that. That will then motivate me then to serve Him, to live for Him. And so when we come to realize the giver and what He has given us, then we're going to be motivated to serve Him diligently. Of all the people in the world, there are none more greatly blessed than we are. Christians. Like Paul, let us not forget what Christ has done for us and be motivated to diligent service. But then thirdly, it will result in faithfulness and not falling away. I'm going to continue, maintain my faithfulness. And I maybe should have put there maintaining faithfulness to God and not to fall away. Why do people drift away from the Lord and His body? I'll tell you why. It's basically because of ingratitude. That's the reason that we fall away, is we cease to be grateful for what God has done for us. Why did Adam and Eve commit sin? Adam and Eve sinned because they were not mindful of and grateful for what they did have. They had the whole garden. But there was one tree in the midst of the garden that God has said, do not eat of, and the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But then Satan comes along, and Satan says, you'll not die, he said to the woman. And in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 3, he even says to the woman, he says, you know, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And so, that was intriguing. It says in verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she'd become like God, knowing good and evil. She took of His fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Why was it? They weren't satisfied with what God had given. They were not grateful for what God had done. And so that led them to want more. And they ended up eating of that forbidden fruit and committing sin. You know, the Israelites did the same thing. They sinned because of ingratitude. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses gives this song or psalm. It's words concerning the children of Israel. He had told them he knew that they're going to eventually fall away. And they did. He said in verse 15 of this, he said, but Jeshurun, this is Israel, grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick. You are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Why did they do that? Verse 18, of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And that's always what happens when we fall away, is that we forget about what God has done for us. And when I am constantly, not just on Thursday of November, the third Thursday in November, where we as a nation think about what God's done for us. But every day, I'm thinking about God's blessings, and I'm so grateful for what He's done. That will help motivate me to remain faithful unto Him and not to fall away. When we forget what Christ has done for us, we drift away. You remember in 2 Peter 1 where Peter talks about the various qualities we need to add to our faith, add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge, and so forth. He said in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. When we don't grow in the Lord as we ought, we forget that we've been cleansed from our old sins, we're no longer grateful for what God has done, and we fall away. We drift away. And we must not do that. Well, these are results of a grateful heart. Peace with God, the peace of God, which includes peace with God, the peace that He provides, diligent work in His service, and maintaining faithfulness and not falling away. I don't have this up on the screen, but turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Beginning with verse 11, we find Jesus coming in contact with 10 men. These are 10 lepers. Now it happened, beginning verse 11, now it happened as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And you know, the leprosy was a dreaded disease, incurable disease, a horrible way of existence and dying. And you can see why they would say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They understood He had the power to cleanse them. Verse 14, "So when He saw them, He said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And He said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" One of the ones who were cleansed comes back, gives glory to God, gives Jesus thanks. And Jesus says, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? You know, I think about that, of all that give thanks, or of all that God's given and He has blessed us. And am I among the nine that refuse to give thanks? We think that's deplorable. That these men would not return to Jesus and give Him thanks. They cried out to Him. He responded in giving them what they requested. But they don't return to give Him thanks. But I have to ask myself, is that me? Am I among the 9, or am I that one that will come back and give glory to God daily, give thanks daily for what God has done for us? That's who the Christian is. Let's not lose sight of what God has done. Let's remember the giver in the gift. As we enjoy these gifts and every good gift and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow that is cast by turning. God is always there, and He's always providing. And we need to express our gratitude to Him. There may be some here this evening who are not Christians, you're not a child of God. The Lord has provided you with a great gift, and that is forgiveness of sins, salvation, the hope of eternal life. But you need to come to Him, you need to obey Him. And if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to come to Christ tonight, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. And if you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, come back. Show your appreciation to the Lord by giving your life to Him, returning to Him, and saying, "Lord, I am going to now always serve You faithfully. I'm going to always be appreciative of what You've done and show my appreciation and my service to You." Repent. Go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you. Come forward and we'll pray on your behalf. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.